Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Happy day. I'm so glad you're here. Today, I'm talking with Daniel Silverman, who is the Vice President of Foreign Direct Investment at Invest Quebec. And yes, if you are a regular listener, we did just talk to him in September. And that was before we knew that he was going to be one of North America's top 50 economic developers. So he is joining me again for an interview. And he is recognized for the award for his relationship building and really being an incredible advocate for the industry. Daniel and I talk about innovation in his leadership and in the economic development industry. We talk about how Canada has doubled down on workforce attraction. We touch on developments in the economic development industry since COVID and really so much more. He is just an incredible energy. He is an incredible addition into our industry. So let's tune in. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am Faye Davis. I'm super excited because I'm here today with Daniel Silverman. And it's funny because we just had an amazing conversation in September of last year. It's episode 77 for those of you who do want to hear more from Daniel after this. And I guarantee you will want to hear more. So, Dan, I'm super excited to welcome you back to the podcast as one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on that list and to do a chapter two of our podcast, I guess, here together.
Yeah, you'll be a regular before you know it.
Exactly.
All right. So since we just recently spoke to you, we're going to switch it up a little bit today. And I want to talk to you. You were nominated and recognized for your industry knowledge, your ability to constantly innovate and the relationships and collaborations you are nurturing, and for being a voice and really an advocate for the industry. So you likely have a natural inclination to being an innovator, but how do you feed that flame to be creative and to continue to find new and intriguing opportunities to bring growth to your region?
Great question. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I think the economic development industry is a very under-publicized industry that we're in here, where we're not IT, we're not video games, we're not manufacturing. And I think, you know, we're a relatively, it's a big world, but a small industry. And part of it has to be is you have to innovate with the times. And innovation isn't just considered, in my opinion, technological. It's in how you do business. It's in how you treat your clients. It's in how you grow your relationships and your network. And, you know, people that I've learned from and mentors that I've had for years and years, many of whom have been on this this list before me. So it's a great honor to be on there with them. It's about seeing how they do things and having those conversations to seeing how to innovate. And if you don't change as an individual and if your team doesn't change in the efforts that they're doing, then it's going to be very difficult to help your region. So I think what we've done over the course of the last, let's call it the pandemic, but I've been at IQ now for 15 months, six, coming up on 16 months, maybe even 17. Math's not my strong suit. But but I think, we've restructured our team to see how can we be better clients servicing and how we take advantage of what's happened here in the pandemic, because we're all on Teams, we're all on Zoom, we're meeting with clients that we could have before only met with in person or had no chance of meeting at all. So it's about doing the things we were doing before, but taking it to the next level and not letting anything get stale.
I love that. And I think you have a total point there, because over the course of the pandemic, which has been largely your on-ramp at Invest Quebec, but the pandemic really just accelerated things that were already going to happen. So I love hearing that you have grabbed that bull by the horns and are trying to make the best of it and come out even better on the other side. How are you seeing economic development in general? And of course, Invest Quebec is a mostly FDI focused organization, correct?
So we are a financing corporation. And also my division of Invest Quebec International is FDI. Also within my umbrella is talent attraction. Mm. And my partner in crime, Marie Jean, is the vice president of export. So we do everything from FDI, talent attraction, export, and the other divisions. We're 1,000 employees. And the other divisions do innovation. They do my mind's in French at the moment, but to loans, forgivable loans, supporting existing businesses. So we kind of do the whole gauntlet of economic development, but my team is focused on talent attraction and FDI.
Okay. So when you're thinking about this pandemic and as right before we started recording, we were talking about how, you know, hopefully everything is moving to like the ending stages of the pandemic. So what are you seeing in economic development and in general, and FDI in particular, what are you seeing changing as we are getting closer to hopefully the end of all of this?
The way companies are thinking and the way companies are going global. I think they've really had a chance themselves to kind of sit back and look at what's important to them. Everybody in the first 3 months of the pandemic talked about reshoring or onshoring. And, you know, we've had a handful in over the course of the year, and it's been great. But I think what I've really seen is how multinationals, how SMEs are considering their international presence. And the first thing they're always looking at is talent, 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 talent. Then they're looking at the site, and then they're looking at the community, and they may be also looking at what incentives or financing options are on the table. But given the border restrictions we have here in Canada, we've had to think a little bit differently about how we showcase Quebec. And we've used different tools to do virtual site visits and HoloLens and a bunch of other Microsoft products to kind of get people there on site, but they're sitting in an office in Tokyo, Japan. So it's really given, I think, businesses and site selection experts an opportunity to rethink how they're doing their site selection mandates and how they're thinking about expanding. But I think the more we go into this, the more we come out of this pandemic, the more important talent is going to be for businesses, whether they're expanding with large facilities, offices, or whatnot. That I think is something that's really key.
Yeah, and I think you really have a point there. Totally off the script from what I sent you, but how, you know, you just mentioned you have a whole team that's part of your role is also that talent development. So how are you guys handling that?
We're in the midst of developing our talent team within IQ, and we also have Montreal International, which has a website, Talent Montreal. We have Quebec International and Drummondville, who have very active talent recruitment teams. I think Montreal's team is 12 people. Quebec has a team in Drummondville, and also we have the Ministry of Immigration. And we work with businesses that are present here in the province of Quebec, whether a foreign business or a Quebec local business, to go internationally and get them the talent that they need. And that could be a custom mission for one company that wants to go to Morocco or go to Colombia or to the States, a lot to France, given the language capabilities. But we kind of offer with our partners kind of this full suite of services to say, what are the types of roles that you need? You need engineers. To complement the existing base that we have here that are very specific in the aerospace industry or video games or AI. Okay, well, we're going to go to this market and do a mission there. We'll line up interviews for you with qualified candidates and walk them through the immigration process as well. We have the global skills strategy here in Canada, which is an expedited immigration process that, let's say, in a COVID-free world, can get people in on regular visas within 10 business days. It's unreal. And in an emergency situation with a triple PhD, whatever, microbiologist, whatever you want to call it, IT expert can probably do it in 48 hours. So you know, we have a very open immigration policy it's been advantageous to us over the last 4 years from the United States. We'll see how much that continues to be an advantage for us moving forward. But it's also very complementary to our friends and family, let's say, in the economic development world in the U.S. because we offer, in some instances, a cost-efficient location, but an easy immigration process. So a lot of businesses are looking at Canada-wide. All of them have the same access, but also Quebec, given our very multicultural feeling here and very European in Montreal and Quebec City, as an event, as a location to do business.
I love that. And I remember we talked about that earlier on in this in our previous episode in September. And I love hearing that because I think it's so important. And it's so unique to Canada because that immigration process can be so hard and so riddled with red tape. But speaking of Canada, the COVID restrictions have been, much more strict compared to a lot of the United States. There are some states here that had similar measures, but definitely not as long. And while some were fearing that increased restrictions would drive away business interest, we are seeing here at Consultants Connect and the conversation that we've been having, we're hearing that many companies actually have a vested interest in how a region has responded to keeping human lives safe throughout this pandemic. So have you seen impacts one way or the other in your region? And it's particularly interesting to the listening audience because Canada did respond so much differently than the United States.
Yeah, I mean, the province of Quebec and Montreal specifically was a bit of the hotbed for COVID in the first wave.
Hey, I sit in Michigan, so I feel you.
Yeah, and we've kind of come out of this where we're opening, our restrictions are easing effective 2 weeks from now. And, we were the place where we had the most amount of deaths and the most amount of cases every day. And now it's kind of flipped to the other way. I think Ontario is kind of leading in that regard right now. But the way the government has handled it and the way the government has supported local and foreign businesses that are here with their PACT program or the other programs they put together was a $2 billion relief, low interest, no interest loan program that was put together, a bunch of other programs related to restaurants or transportation. We've reacted quite strongly. Is everybody going to love the decisions? No. But when we look at where we're at right now, given the speed of access to vaccines that we've had, Quebec is doing great. And I think people have noticed that, and they're looking at what we're doing here and how we're doing it. We're going to announce our FDI results for our fiscal year in the middle of it, so in about 3 weeks. Which will be great results given the pandemic that we've had. It's a noticeable, international companies have taken notice to our response. Now, has it been tough to get companies to come in to do site visits on industrial or manufacturing projects? It has been, but we've been able to have workarounds that we've used innovation and technology to have the clients kind of be there through my eyes or through one of my colleagues' eyes while sitting in the comfort of their home or their offices abroad. So, we've continued to push forward. We also are fortunate enough to have, we have 33 Quebec delegations around the globe. Some of these delegations are traveling. My China team has done multiple visits. The U.S., Benoit in New York is going to start traveling. I think he's got two trips planned in the next 4 weeks. So we've been fortunate in that regard. But the way we've handled things and the way we've kind of started to reopen this economy and launch the economy, I think has been noticed by corporate executives.
Yeah, I love that. Quebec has really been making a name for itself in the ICT sector. And it was capped off recently by an announcement that Google is building a major data center there. What can other economic developers learn from you all on how your region supports growing the talent needed to keep this industry booming at the pace that it currently is outside of what you're doing with the immigration stuff?
I think really part of what it is I know you said outside the immigration stuff, but it's supporting the nurturing of local talent and the recruitment of talent from abroad because they complement each other. We get questions from local business professionals about why you're bringing in more tech and, we might be losing jobs to that industry. But when you look at it in reality, we're bringing in companies that are very complementary to the ecosystem that's here throughout Quebec. We work very closely with Montreal International in the greater Montreal area on projects such as the data center project and many others. Montreal in and of itself and has become a hub for video games, has become a hub for AI with the Mila Institute that's here. The reason Montreal International and has this talent component to it is you need talent to maintain an ecosystem. And right now we're able to do that and foster that. But we're also looking at trying to be a little bit more targeted in the types of companies that we bring in here. Because what's important in that aspect is that they have to intertwine. Mm-hmm. You're seeing more and more how AI is being implemented into video games and how it's being implemented into the film industry, how it's being implemented into the life sciences industry. So this talent can have so much different crossover within industries that you're taking a potential video game expert and transitioning them into a healthcare company. I'm not talking about the first line in COVID. I'm talking about in terms of the technology aspect in research and applying AI to these sectors. So it's blossoming. And the one thing I could say is I think you could almost put IT into every sector. And I include agribusiness in that too, because a lot of the companies that we've been targeting and speaking to here are including a huge level of technology. Now, you can't really take a video game expert and put them into a vertical farming company and innovation like that. But you just see throughout the greater Montreal area and throughout Quebec how the IT industry has started to spiderweb into the other sectors that we have here and how it's complementing Quebec in general.
Awesome. Daniel, I really enjoy learning from you. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to end our podcast interview today on this one final question. And I would really like to know what you think your strongest personal quality is and how that plays into your leadership.
Great question. I would probably say my, I don't know if it's networking ability, relatability to people. I'm Switzerland. I like to get along with everybody.
But the human connection piece.
It's the human connection piece. You know, I've made lifelong friends in this industry sector. James Chavez, Stevie Field, Kenny McDonald, Trisha Braun, the list goes on, Carl Segura. Because of the ability to have that human connection and get to know people and not just be a business relationship. And I think that's an important piece. Economic development is all about relationships. And, you get to a point where you get on a personal relationship and I sent Dee Dee Caldwell a text message because I was stuck in a corner and I didn't know how to answer a question. And she responds and that helps me answer the question. And I reach out to partners at IEDC and others, and they're open there. But it's about giving back and, a bit of paying it forward. And I believe that building a personal and professional relationship with colleagues around, that's kind of been my strength. And that's kind of helped me get to where I'm at here today. And I can't thank all those people that have touched my business, my personal, my professional career, helping me do that.
I love it. You can tell that you just are impassioned for what you do and that this industry brings you great joy in your career too. So I want to say congratulations on being one of North America's top 50 economic developers. It is, it's an award well bestowed upon you. And thank you for taking time to talk to me today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.